Last night in Hartford's XL Center, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team established a new collegiate record in a lopsided victory. Dave O'Brien called the last play on ESPN.
Connecticut to inbound, and UConn has one up UCLA. 89 consecutive wins, more than anyone in college basketball Division I history.
And while the losing team last night came from Florida State, in a way the UConn women were playing the ghosts of John Wooden's great UCLA men's teams, which racked up 88 wins in a row in the early 1970s. As they approached, equaled, and now passed that total, many contend that the records are apples and oranges, that these are essentially two different sports. Others argue that UConn women did not get the acclaim they deserve and that nowhere close to the attention if a men's team would have received if it had made that record. Or can both those things be true? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. NPR's Mike Pesca covered the game in Hartford last night and joins us from the studios of member station WNPR in that city. Mike, nice to have you back.
Thanks, Neil.
And among those who seem to go both ways on that question is UConn's coach, Gino Auriemma.
Yeah, one time someone said about, I think, Yasser Arafat, he has said everything and its opposite. And talking about the streak, Auriemma comes close to that. He says what's on his mind, and like a person who contains multitudes, often lots of things and sometimes contradictory things are on his mind. So he says, do I want the streak to go on? Sure. Do I care if it ends? Probably not. I know it's going to end, and he kind of hedges if he even talks about it. For weeks, he was saying he hasn't even mentioned it to his team. And then after the Ohio State game 2 days ago where they tied the record, he let loose at the end of a press conference with a sociological critique of the media and society at large, saying that when it was women's breaking a women's record, people dismissed and poo-pooed the accomplishments. But now that it's women's trying to go for a men's record, indeed last night surpassing the UCLA men's record, that's the only reason people pay attention. And Auriemma said in last night's press conference, to clarify, I don't think that's unfair, and I never asked for more. He said, I just think it's amusing that as soon as the women start scaling the walls of Castle Men, that's when people really take notice.
It's interesting. And he's also said many times, I'm not John Wooden. I revere John Wooden as one of the great coaches in basketball history. In fact, he said he had the opportunity of meeting Coach Wooden at one point and then meeting him again and realized that Coach Wooden did not remember who he was.
Right, but John Wooden's grandson was at the game, and that was an important thing symbolically. The game before, Gail Goodrich, who was not on that streak-breaking team for UCLA but was a great UCLA player, was Gino Auriemma's guest. And to honor what UCLA men's did was important to Wooden, and I think, and he's a very strategic guy, and I wouldn't pass him to do it for this reason. He does not think that it's an apple and oranges comparison. And by the way, a lot of people really are saying it's an apple and crab apples comparison, just that the women weren't as good as the men. And their proof seems to be that the quality of basketball is not as good. Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, we know those guys. Do we know Tina Charles? That's not really something that you could debate with empirical evidence. But it seems that Auriemma very much wanted the UCLA comparison because they are in many ways comparable. And the coaches that he played against, normally in a post-game press conference, there'd be two questions about the game at hand, and then they'd ask the opposing coach, hey, could you talk about UCLA? And every coach always talks about how important UCLA was to their game, their sport, women's basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, UConn is to women's basketball. And that's what people were saying about UCLA at the time. When UCLA would beat people, it was very important to the game of men's basketball. And people who follow these things carefully point out that the timelines for the two men and women's sports are similar, that UCLA was going on its streak about 30 to 40 years after the NCAA tournament became established. And 1980-81 is when they had the first NCAA women's finals. It was 8 years or so after Title IX was passed and the NCAA ratified women's basketball. So the timelines are similar. And I think what women's coaches are saying, if you look what happened after UCLA's success, it was a great boon to the sport. And they are excited for that to happen to women's basketball. They're excited that all these different colleges will say, we have to do something to beat UConn. They will up their game. And eventually, when people start playing them close, the game will get really exciting, and then maybe more people will watch their game.
We're talking with Mike Pesca about the UConn women's basketball team, which last night exceeded the Division I collegiate record for consecutive wins of basketball games in a row. Of course, that's for women and men. Some people say those are really two different things. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And it is important to point out, last year's UConn team, I think, obviously went undefeated as part of that streak, but I think won every game, except maybe the last game, by double digits. This year, they had one real squeaker over then-ranked number two, Baylor.
Yes, and they've won, except for those two games, they have won every game by double digits. The year before last, they also were undefeated. They're in the middle, in other words, or at least a third way through their third undefeated season. That Baylor game features a player named Brittany Griner, who maybe is the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or at least the Wilt Chamberlain of women's basketball. She's tall and skilled, but it came so early in the season that neither team really had its strategy and plays down. In fact, it came to a last-second play where Baylor seemed out of sorts. And also, it should be pointed out that UConn had the home court advantage, something Gino Auriemma, I wouldn't, again, put it past him to make sure that he made sure that that game was played on UConn's home court. Maybe if they're going to lose, people are circling the December 30th game at Stanford, because Stanford is a good team. They did lose to DePaul by a lot recently, but Stanford was the last team besides Baylor to give them any sort of a game, and that was in the championship game last year.
It'll be interesting. Digger Phelps, the coach of the Notre Dame team, which ended the 88-game UCLA streak, seems to have spent the rest of his career on that one victory alone. He had some good years other than that at Notre Dame, but never won the big prize. It'll be interesting to see if the coach that beats Connecticut eventually gets that same kind of renown as well. In any case, let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. Kenny's calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I do agree with a lot of people. I've been listening to a lot of sports talk radio, and they've pretty much been bashing it. I do agree that it's two completely different sports, but you almost have to have more respect for these women's players that come in. And I was thinking, you know, you watch men's college basketball. Most players are there for a year, and they're done. They go on. The appeal of the WNBA is not really there for them to leave, and that, I think that's why the teams, like, come so far and developed so well, and they're just beating everyone.
And that's interesting to point out about this year's UConn team. A lot of young players on the team this year.
Yeah, they have a raft of freshmen. But the most important players throughout this streak, and the two players who are part of every winning game, are Maya Moore and Tina Hayes. And those two are usually UConn's leading scorer. Maya Moore had 41 points last night, and she's an amazing player. The opposing coach of Florida State says, you know who she is? She's Kobe Bryant. That's what she could do with the ball. She could stop. She could pop. The caller just mentioned sports talk radio bashing it, and of course they are, but what is sports talk radio except a bastion of manliness? I listen to a lot of sports talk radio. It's 95% male. I watch a lot of ESPN, and they've set up this debate where a man usually takes the position that the women's game is not as good. And my take on that is that's a fine discussion. I think it's a legitimate discussion to have. I mean, sports are sometimes played so young, fit people play sports so old, out-of-shape people can discuss them, right? But I think that it's a legitimate discussion to have, is women's game as entertaining or as athletic as men's game. But this isn't talking or a referendum on women's sports or women's basketball. It's a referendum on how hard it is to win 89 of anything in a row. 89, where there's so much competition, where there are thousands of people right now, kids who are playing high school basketball, desperate to get a scholarship, that golden ticket to play in a college, where there's just as much practice time as mandated by the NCAA. The men can't play more, where there's strategy, where there's skill. Everything that goes into being excellent in sports went into this winning streak. And I have heard a lot of people on sports talk radio saying it's not as impressive. But every coach, man or woman I talk to, and every player, man or woman I've talked to, no actual coach or player is someone who spends their time trying to excel at sports, has been anything but awed by the UConn streak.
Thanks very much, Kenny.
Thank you.
Email question posed by Ronald, who says there's a good question in today's New York Times. They have not played Tennessee during the streak. Tennessee has always been their greatest rival. Does that make the streak less than it really is?
Well, there's an analogy to UCLA, and Tennessee and UConn used to always play each other. Then Coach Oriyama and Coach Pat Summit of Tennessee, they do not get along. They are the great lion and lioness of the games. But if Tennessee were better, they'd have had a chance to play UConn at least twice in the NCAA tournament. I mean, one year they were in their bracket more or less, and one year they weren't. But if Tennessee had made the finals either year, they could have played UConn. Now, the analogy to UCLA is when UCLA was winning its games, its 88 games, they had a much easier road in the NCAA tournament than does UConn today, because the rules then were that only one team per division made it. So some of the best teams didn't even make the NCAA tournament. Also back then, UCLA only played Western teams in the early rounds. So if you look at just in terms of playing the best teams, UConn has played, I think, 30 ranked opponents, not Tennessee, and Tennessee wasn't always the highest ranked team. So in a lot of ways, just in terms of the ranking of the opponents, UConn's streak is more impressive than UCLA's.
And Mike, you misspoke. I'm sure you meant to say one team from each conference would make the tournament back in the UCLA days. So you'd have those great ACC tournaments where Duke would knock off North Carolina and Maryland, and there were a lot of good teams that would
these days
make the tournament no problem. We're talking about UConn's record streak in Division I basketball. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Celia. Celia with us from Moab in Utah.
Hi, thanks. You know, I think if more people had the opportunity to watch women's basketball, they might feel a little bit different about it. And because I'm a big fan growing up watching Chick Hearn announce the L.A. Lakers, I think, what would Chick do? And I think he would encourage us to watch for the majesty of the sport and for amazing sportsmanship. And in these games, you're seeing women do incredible things with their bodies, and we should be celebrating sportsmanship and good basketball. And if people watched it more, maybe they would feel a little different about it.
And, Mike, a lot of people pointed out, fewer dunks, not so many great crossover moves, but much better team play.
Yes, that's true. Oftentimes that argument very much annoys fans of the NBA, as if dunks aren't a legitimate part of the game, or as if, you know, amazing athleticism is something that the NBA has to apologize for. The analogy, maybe I was thinking about this. It's almost like saying, if you don't like women's basketball, if you don't want to watch the WNBA, it's almost like saying, you know, I don't really like black and white movies. I don't like the pacing, or I don't like a movie that's not in the spectacle of color. Like the caller says, you're probably missing a lot. And granted, old movies from the 40s or 50s have flaws compared to current movies, but they also have tremendous assets that it's easy to look past.
Celia, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go next to this is Jim, and Jim's calling from Agoura Hills in California.
Yes, my contention, and it's a phenomenal record. I mean, 89 straight. But the competition when UCLA was playing was so far superior. Obviously, it is apples and oranges, because you know you're going against guys like Artis Gilmore. I mean, you know, phenomenal teams, and less teams, like Mike was saying. I mean, obviously. The conferences were smaller than it is today. It's almost kind of diluted today because there are so many more schools. But, you know, they had to face, I mean, every night, I mean, incredible competition every night they played for the most part. And whereas the UConn women, how outside of Tennessee and UConn and maybe USC years ago, can you name, like, more than 10 schools that are really up to that level? I mean, anywhere near that level?
Well, Stanford and Baylor, just to name two. But Mike Pesca, is he right about the analogy? I don't recall the Pac-10 and the UCLA days being as quite as ferocious as it's been in recent years.
Oh, it
right.
Was, oh, God, it was Pac-8 then, and it was, tremendously ferocious.
Yeah, Oregon had great teams back then, and yes, there were very good teams that UCLA had to play against. But the point is, UConn's competition in many ways doesn't seem as good because UConn is so much better than its competition. I've contended that if this streak were comprised of 89 games, of which 59 came down to single digits and 29 were buzzer beaters, maybe we'd be giving UConn more credit. Maybe we'd be saying they're beating these great teams and they're pulling it out in the end. And the fact that it's not close is, if anything, you could argue, testament to how good UConn is or are. The recruiting classes of UConn are normally among the best recruiting classes in the country. But, you know, UConn loses great players. The player who was supposed to be the best on the UConn team, Elena Delladonna, she left school and she transferred to Delaware. So a couple of years ago, people were saying, well, this is the UConn's not going to be an ongoing legacy because Delladonna's gone. If you compare the recruiting classes of UConn in the last few years to the recruiting classes of the Duke men, how many All-Americans, how many parade All-Americans, how many top 50 nationally ranked players they have, they're similar. So I think that saying that UConn doesn't play great players, a lot of that is just a function of that, like Celia from Moab was saying, many people don't follow women's basketball. They don't recognize how good a lot of the players are.
And another point to be made is that we mentioned Coach Wooden and Coach Auriemma. Well, he's beginning to approach that stratospheric level of accomplishment, seven NCAA titles now, the two longest records in women's collegiate basketball history.
Right. He's the, if you look at, there was a 70 win in a row record, and that's also owned by UConn. Of course, UCLA owns the first and third longest streak in men's basketball. This is NCAA basketball. There was a Baptist University in Texas that won, I think, 131 games when AAU was playing basketball. Auriemma is a great coach, but none of this was preordained. None of this was – all of this was things that he created when he took over in UConn. First, he built his teams, his first championship team in 95, mostly based with players such as Carol Walters and Rebecca Lobo, New Englanders. Then he was so good that he was able to recruit nationally. So everything that he's been able to create, he's done it himself. He's carved it out for himself. All credit is due to him.
I think Connecticut had one winning season before he arrived. NPR
and his first season was a losing season, yeah.
NPR sports reporter Mike Pesca, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Mike joined us from WNPR, member station in Hartford. Tomorrow, behavior profiling in the TSA. Does it work? Is it legal? Plus, Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson on awkward holiday invitations. Join us for that. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.